from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's not a major leaguer yet, and you still have to develop him, and you're not quite sure if the player is going to eventually develop into a really good major league player. If you are still in rebuilding mode, you make that trade every day, but they're not right now. Their other moves signaled that they're trying to win both this year and next with De La Cruz and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. So there you go. I did not make that up unless John and I both have people telling us things that are full of crap. 412-928-9370 is the telephone number. Jack Wilson in 15 minutes. Let's go back to you and talk with Troy Mount Washington. Hello, Troy.
Tony, what's up, man?
Hey.
So, about Cruz, I've heard some suggestion about switching him and Ke'Bryan Hayes. I mean, that's not going to help because I'm...
Yes, it is. That's a great idea.
Ke'Bryan Hayes is lucky he's still playing.
Agreed, but that is a solution.
Still trouble in the lineup. Ke'Bryan Hayes has to get
No doubt it keeps the trouble in the lineup, but it improves you drastically defensively. It makes you a much better defensive team.
I would argue that not this year, because the Pirates like to have faith in their players, just like they did with Rowdy. He'll stay at shortstop, but he should transition to the outfield. In the offseason.
But wait a minute. Why do you think that the shortstop third base switch is a bad idea? If they're married to Hayes because they owe him $49 million and you can't get rid of him, why wouldn't you try to switch those guys?
Because if you move Cruz to the outfield, you keep Hayes in his natural position.
Who's playing short?
That's something that the Pirates will have to go out and get in this offseason. You're not transitioning Cruz until the offseason. You're keeping him at short. But the thing about Cruz is, really, really think about this. What is so much different between, and take away the size and the potential and everything that we think we see, what is the difference between him and Jack Sawinski? What has Cruz showed us that Jack hasn't showed us?
Wait, you're kidding, right? What is the difference between Sawinski and Cruz?
Jack's numbers and what season he put up. And look at Cruz's numbers and what season he put up, and whose are better?
Cruz!
Cruz has not hit as many home runs as Jack Sawinski. We look at Cruz for his
bat. He hasn't played as many games as Jack Sawinski. That's why.
Okay, but in Jack Sawinski's best season and Cruz's best season, which was what, both last year? I would say
Cruz didn't play last year because he broke his ankle 9 games in.
So he's not shown us that he is this. We put him on a pedestal, let's be real. We put him on a pedestal to start, and I feel bad for the guy because
his 162 game average. So what does he do over a full season? Cruz, I'm talking about, is 30 home runs and 96 RBIs. What are you talking about that it's like Jack Sawinski?
Is this the numbers that he has put up or what you think he would put up if he were healthy. A lot of ifs.
No, when he got to 162 games in his career, when he played a full season, he was at 30 home runs and 96 RBIs.
And let me ask you, what has he done since then?
He had a massive July offensively.
Okay, so he had a month, but he's not playing. He looks uncomfortable batting sometimes, and we already know
sometimes
he's uncomfortable
in the field. Okay, sometimes he might, but he has a 758 OPS, which is second best on the team. That's better than average in baseball. Jack Sawinski's hitting under 200, dude.
So he's second best on a team that Brian Reynolds is first. Who's third? I mean,
Rowdy Tellez, Andrew McCutcheon, those guys. Brian
De La Cruz, the guy that couldn't hit at Tony League World Series for 3 months.
Brian De La Cruz, who they just picked up and has 18 home runs.
Tony, do you believe that his bat is going to come together and we're going to figure out a place for him in the field?
Those are two different questions. I think
you don't want to first base him and DH him. You don't want to do that.
No, he could play third base. I would try him at third base. I would try him at third base or right field. But you're saying, do I think he will be a really good or great hitter? My answer is yes. Do I think he will ever be a good fielder? Right now, my answer is no. So I want to hide him at a position where he's not going to hurt me as much as he does at shortstop.
You don't, but if you're going to hide him in the outfield?
Well, maybe, but I'll try third because he's an infielder by trade. You're saying that he's like Jack Sawinski.
But when are you going to try third? In the offseason?
Yes.
You're not going to do it in the middle of the season.
Yes, in the offseason.
You're going to tell Brian Hayes, no matter what, how he's playing the rest of the season, hey, we're going to switch you. We gave you all this money. We're going to switch you from third, and we're going to try Cruz here next year.
Yes.
That's what you're going to do?
Yeah. Is Hayes a great defensive player?
Did you commit to him?
Yes. Is he a great defensive player?
Third?
Originally, but I want to try him at short because it's a more valuable defensive position, and I think he's a good defensive infielder.
You're taking a guy out of his natural position that you signed into a long-term deal.
It's moving him one spot over.
Then what's that going to do for Cruz?
It's going to put him at a position where the ball's not being hit to him as much.
How many errors does Cabrian have this year? The ball's still going to come at that guy. If you're going to hide him, Pony, you have to either train him to be a center fielder or you got to put him in the outfield.
Right. So
there's
so you're ripping him as a defensive player, and you want to move him to, after shortstop, the second most important defensive position, which is center fielder. That sounds really smart. Even though he's got experience in the outfield. You're nervous he couldn't move to third. But you think he'd pick up center field like it's nothing?
What is his problem? What are his good metrics? He has speed and he has an arm. He doesn't have good feet.
Oh,
he doesn't have good motion.
You're right. When he goes and runs down fly balls, it looks seamless and flawless with him, Troy. It looks amazing. When he's out there trying to run down fly balls, he'll be a natural in center
field. You don't have to narrow it down to just running down fly balls. Cruz has speed. Cruz has a huge arm. He does not have good mechanics when it comes to the infield. He just doesn't.
All right,
you don't pick those up by moving to third base.
All right, thank you. Appreciate you. Here's Jeff in South Park, our number two fan. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, man. You told that story about your dad in the opening segment. And all I can picture is Homer Simpson going, "Why, you little," and then strangling you by the neck.
Yeah, there was a lot of that.
There was a lot of that. So that's why you have the Merton Hanks neck then?
Merton Hanks, what a reference. Donnie, do you get that one? You remember him with the 49ers?
No, I got to look that up.
Oh, my God. You do have to look that up. Anyways.
Yeah, that's a blast from my years of watching football past.
Do you agree with Troy that O'Neal Cruz has a lot in common with Jack Sawinski?
No, that was an idiotic call. And it's funny because your previous segment, you had a great call where the guy said that we should lift up Cruz if he has a big hit tonight. I think that's a wonderful
before
idea.
Even his first hit. I say when he gets introduced, when Guy Junker says now batting shortstop O'Neal Cruz, everybody should rise as one and give him a standing ovation.
I think it's a great idea. So you get a mixed bag on this show. You get the great calls. You get the terrible calls.
Where do you
calls,
usually come down, you think?
I try to give you my A material, but every once in a while you'll get me on the air and the Penguins aren't doing a damn thing in free agency and I like my brain's not functioning. So I feel like I probably come down in the middle, but I always try to bring my A game. I would have been okay with them benching Cruz in the middle of that game because they needed to get him out of there. He was scuffling at the plate, and you had an excuse because there was a left-hander on the mound. And
right.
the fact that they didn't do it then, that ship has sailed, okay? They had a day off yesterday. No, he needs to be in the lineup. I love how they have the pitchers lined up because Ortiz probably would be your number three as long as Jones is hurt. Let's see how this plays out. This is a real test for them as a quasi playoff series. I can't wait.
Do you think that Brandon Ayuk not being at 49ers practice means he's coming to Pittsburgh?
I don't know for sure. Yeah, I'm going to lead towards there's something happening.
Thank you, Jeff. Text is on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Jack Wilson going to join us next. We'll see if he thinks Cruz could move to third or if he sees a guy that has the future as a really good shortstop still. He worked with Cruz throughout spring training, so you probably won't hear someone with a more informed opinion on Cruz all day. That's next. Don't go anywhere right now with Donnie Headline.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I think for me, the easiest play would be to slide him over third base. But then you look over to your right and you got a Gold Glover over there, too. So
he moved to short.
Hard. Yeah, I mean, that would be the next. I've heard from a lot of people that he could do it. Ke'Bryan Hayes could move over to short and play. But again, now you're talking about two guys starting over kind of out of position and then learning the ropes again. But you could always stick him in the corner outfield, too, as well. He could play center field, too, to be honest with you. So, I mean, I don't know. I think this is so unfamiliar to all of us because he's 6'7". I think that's the key.
That was Jordy Mercer's take on O'Neill Cruz yesterday, a very good Pirate shortstop in his own right, a part of teams that went to the playoffs in 13, 14, and 15. We are joined by, I would say, the best defensive shortstop of my lifetime right there with Jay Bell, and that would be Jumpin' Jack Flash. Jack Wilson joining us on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Jack, Andrew Filippone back in Pittsburgh. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Jack, the last time I saw you, you were at spring training, and you were doing a lot of work with O'Neill Cruz, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we were getting after it, getting ready for the season. So it was definitely fun to get back in Bradenton and be with the guys.
Well, you saw what happened in the Houston game the other night. I made sure our producer sent you the video if you didn't see it on your own. As a man that played that position for a very long time and played it very well, can you explain what O'Neill Cruz was doing on that fly ball?
It's actually kind of a funny kind of memory, because that actual same ball is the very first error I had in my major league career.
Wow.
It was a shallow pop-up in Houston, going back, and I didn't really communicate very well with Brian Giles at the time. It was like maybe my first week in the big leagues, and I clanked it. I didn't have anybody on. There was nobody on, but as I saw that ball go, and I saw O'Neill go get it, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I had flashbacks, because that was my first big league error. But yeah, it's tough. You go out there, you're always going for the ball, which I love. As a shortstop, you always want the ball. O'Neill goes after the ball, getting after it. I didn't know if there was communication with Brian and left or not, but you always want a guy to be able to go out and try to get the ball for himself. So I love that about him. And then, you know, the throw home, that's tough, because he has a different arm than everybody else mm-hmm. that I ever had, that anybody else ever had. So when he sees the possibility of him using that to try to get it out, I think he's going to try to do it. And in a situation where you're probably thinking, okay, I'm probably not going to throw this ball, in his mind, throws 150, you know, he thinks he can make the play. So, you know, just a really tough, fortunate event. But I do love the fact that he is not scared to try to make those plays, because that's what makes great shortstop, is not be afraid to do things that maybe other people won't even try.
Jack, if that keeps happening, though, and there are errors, like, how do you walk that fine line to say, well, we now need you to reel it in a little bit?
I think that's exactly what you said. If it keeps happening, then there definitely has to be adjustments. He's still very young in the game in Major League Baseball for being a shortstop. There's a lot of stuff to learn. I was very fortunate to have Mike Benjamin and Pat Mears teach me a lot of stuff about shortstops, guys that played there a long time on our rosters. And right now on the roster, there's not a lot of guys that have big league time at the shortstop.
There isn't. There hasn't been all year, Jack. Not one guy.
So I got really lucky, because I had guys that could teach me. I can make that mistake and immediately not have a coach in my face. I could have Mike Benjamin.
Yeah, Mike Benjamin's sideburns right on top of you. Oh, my God,
yeah,
those things were incredible.
Exactly. He was one of the smartest. He made a huge impact in my career. He was one of the smartest fielders as far as understanding the game and understanding how to play the shortstop position. And I loved being around those guys, because they really helped me. They were like a third and fourth infield coach. So, like you said, if it keeps happening, obviously it's an issue. But it's one of those things that, as you know, look how he hits. Like, he's getting normal. He's getting used to big league pitching. The more at bats you get, the better you are. Same thing defensively. The more you're out there, you're hoping to make these adjustments and stuff like that. And it's if it doesn't happen and the adjustments don't get made, then you have an issue. But there's still a lot of time for that to happen.
Pirates former shortstop Jack Wilson, our guest, talking about O'Neill Cruz. To Jordy Mercer's point about this being unprecedented and it being a difficult evaluation for him, because he's never seen a man that large play the position.
Right.
Are you still convinced, Jack, that he can be an everyday major league shortstop defensively, even with the great height issue?
I think, you know, maybe over time, as he gets maybe into his upper 20s, 30s, you saw it, you know, A-Rod moved over to third base, and he was obviously the last kind of really big, tall, lanky shortstop. But it's just going to depend on how much you care about playing the position on the defensive side. That's all it is. If you're an offensive shortstop and defense is kind of like, oh, it'll be there, it won't be there, you're going to have to move at some point, because it's just too much. It's such a position. It's the hardest position to play in baseball, where balls are hit. I think the overall hardest position is catcher, but the overall where the ball is hit, the shortstop is a very, very difficult position because of the fielding and because of the way we have to throw the ball over there. So if it gets to a point where you see that he's not completely locked in becoming that defensive standard, then probably have to shift him somewhere. But he still, like you said, he still has time to be like, all right, I want to be a great defensive shortstop. What do I need to do to get there? And then make those strides.
Do you see traits in him that if it ever got to that point, he could just move over to third?
Yeah, dude, you can make him a closer if you want. He throws 150. Like, you know, it's you can do whatever you want with that type of athlete. And obviously, he runs well. You could put him in the outfield. You know, you definitely want to give him that shot to be that shortstop because the stuff is there. The arm is there. You know, the glove, you know, is there. Like you said, the height is different because when I'm taking ground balls with him, and it's a completely different type of, you know, way that we can move our bodies because he's bending over a lot further than I ever had to bend over because he's so tall. So I think in time, I think it's not a panic mode in time. Right now, you just kind of let him have growing pains, and it will work itself out in a sense. It's just kind of what he does with his time as a defensive shortstop.
Jack, how about when the defensive gaffes carry over to at-bats because he had 9 strikeouts in the Houston series, the mental game of trying to not allow for an error or two to affect when you have to get into the batter's box? Like, if you were around him, what would you say to him about that?
I would ask him if it does bother him. I think it only a defensive error only bothers a guy who really cares about defense, mm-hmm. where it would carry over. I was absolutely irate if I made an error, so much so that I knew I was going to get 2 hits because I was so pissed off. I had like an extra level of energy. I was very, very upset when I made like mistakes on the field because I felt like that was my job. But I was more defensive-oriented. That was what I really cared about. I wanted to get hits, obviously, and produce on the offensive side, but that was my thing. I don't know how he sees the defensive side of baseball, but I think that there are going to be times where everybody, the way the pitching now is, there's going to be strikeouts. It just doesn't look good when it's coming off of, you know, your bat on both sides of the ball. You know, you're going to have tough games out there. You're going to have tough bounces. Things aren't going to go your way. And then if it's not happening at the plate as well, it looks even worse. But I don't think he's a guy that really kind of carries it over. I think he's really in tune to what kind of an impact he can have on the field offensively, which right now maybe is more than the impact he can have defensively. So I don't think he's a guy that kind of carries that over, at least from the short time that I, you know, talked with him and got to know him a little bit.
Jack, we've had a discussion over the last 2 days since that play of maybe it would make sense to unplug him for the game tonight to give him some time to either cool off, or some callers have suggested like to do it more punitively, like your head wasn't in the game, you need to take a day off to re-examine things. As a guy that's played and coached, what are your thoughts on something like that?
Yeah, it definitely does have value. I wouldn't be so rushed to do it on a single play, just because it's baseball. Plays like that are going to happen, and you just more care about learning from them early on than more being like a punishment or a type of discipline or whatever. But a hard reset is always nice to get, where you give them a breather and just say that, like, we're just going to give you a day to kind of watch the game and kind of be around your teammates. And you know, that always, as a coach, I think about doing that for my players as well, and then I think that has value. But
could you do that in DH him? Could I try to have it both ways?
Like, oh, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. You definitely could. You can DH him and just say, hey, let's just focus on hitting, give your arm a day off, whatever it may be. Maybe not hit BP that day or not. You know, those things are valuable over the course of 162 game season. Those days do have value, and unplugging and giving you a hard reset is always nice. So that's definitely an option. But he's young. I mean, these are the mistakes that guys are going to make. This is his, third season? His first full season, I believe.
Well, he was hurt last year because of the ankle injury. So really,
I'll play. That's right.
2 years ago, he played a decent amount. But honestly, Jack, overall, he's played like 180 games in the big leagues. That's it.
Yeah, that's super fresh. I mean, that's barely over a rookie season. So, you know, I think, you know, those guys over there know, that front office, that coaching staff knows that you're going to have growing pains, especially at that position. It is so difficult, and it's just going to be one of those things that you're going to have to hope that they make that he makes his adjustments. When he talks to his coach, he's talked to Mendy Lopez, who's a phenomenal infield coach, and you just hope he makes that adjustments. But you know, you also need him in the lineup because he's going to have good days, but he's also going to have days where he might be the best player on the field.
Hell yeah!
So those are tough things. Those are tough kind of. I can hard reset him, but that guy can go out and hit 4 home runs tonight.
Right.
Because of that power.
And you're behind Arizona by 2.5 games, and you're starting a big series with them tonight. Hey, Jack, thank you so much for giving us time, man. Keep up the good work. Your son, we're following him in Pittsburgh. He's killing it now with the A's. So you got to be a proud father, and we'll be in touch again soon, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you.
There you go, Jack Wilson. One of Donnie's favorites. One of my favorites. What am I talking about? Both of our favorites. Did he sell you on the idea, maybe DH'ing him tonight?
Yeah,
the the hard reset idea? Well, watch the game? Let the game slow down for you?
To where he's just batting?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, if we see that on the lineup card whenever that graphic gets put out there in a little bit, if we see that he is the DH, I'm not going to be upset about it. Like, you give Andrew McCutchen an extra night off or something like that. I do think he should be in the lineup, though.
Has to be, because of who you're playing and how important these games are against Arizona. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Next up, a PM team Friday draft. It's Friday Night Lights for the Steelers. That was a very popular movie. Popular enough to be drafted in our best sports movies of all time draft. You'll find out next, right now, a Donnie Headline. Friday means it's time for a PM team Friday draft. No Mulsey. He's with his wife, Alex, who celebrated another birthday yesterday. So we'll see if... how else do I say this? We'll see if there's a sexual encounter this weekend for Chris to celebrate. I'm guessing there will be. Time for a draft. Friday Night Lights in Latrobe. Donnie, you said before, Friday Night Lights, very underrated sports movie. So we'll put that to the test in the Friday draft. Best sports movies of all time. Donnie has the first pick. I have the second pick. And then a mystery third pick made by Fan Morning Show host Adam Crowley, who's now on our video stream. You can watch it on YouTube or 93.7thefan.com. Hello, Adam.
Mystery Alaska third pick. How about that?
I thought you said you've only seen three sports movies. That's one of them, when the Rangers went to Alaska and took on a band of misfits.
I actually have seen it once. Don't remember the plot, but remember there was a Zamboni sex scene. That's all I had.
Sonny Gray will pick fourth. He is a hockey aficionado. Sonny, have you seen the movie Mystery Alaska?
No, but I might have to check that one off my list.
Crowley sold you on it. By the way, before we get to the draft, Adam, can you tell everybody what you're up to tomorrow night?
Yeah, I'll be helping raise money for the University of Pittsburgh football program. And
what hat are you wearing right now? What's going on?
West Virginia hat. Yeah. You see, I heard you call me Benedict Crowley yesterday. This isn't getting anybody through the door. My presence might actually ward people off from donating to the Pitt football program. And I'm going
in there,
and I'm going to ruffle
some
feathers.
So that's what you're hoping for, that people don't show up because you're there? You're now hoping that this undermines the efforts? That's your hope?
It's not that I hope it undermines the efforts. It's just that I think it's a little disingenuous to think that I am helping them raise any money, because they didn't promote me until all the tickets had already been sold.
But isn't the whole thing to be like an auctioneer and to like inspire people and encourage people to give money? Isn't that what you're being tasked to do?
You know what? Bostic really kept me in the dark on everything. He just said there's an open bar and you get to wear West Virginia stuff and you get to hang out with Doran.
But still,
and that
they're
was
using you. They're using you to try to make this a more economically successful night. Right? I mean, that's
well,
the bottom line.
Well, I do think Pitt fans and West Virginia fans need to stand arm in arm in this uncertain times with conference realignment and NIL.
No, they don't. They don't need to do that at all. I think West Virginia fans hate Pitt fans and vice versa. There's none of that going on. You're trying to create something completely out of whole cloth.
I realize this was not – yeah, it wasn't a good move on my part, but now I'm locked into this thing, and there's an open bar, and I'm trying to look on the bright side.
You texted my wife and said, I need an intervention. I'm taking this as a cry for help, not you trying to spin this or rationalize this into something that's productive for anyone.
But something good did come out of it, and there was something productive. I believe we are going to get our little ones together, Pony, and we're going to have a play date. And I think if that's where we wind up, it'll all have been worth it.
Donnie, you have the first pick.
You hear the theme song playing. I'm taking Rocky with the first pick. The first one. There aren't many movies that, or sports movies at least, that are best picture worthy. Normally we just like
screw
them.
The Academy Awards.
Well, guess
though.
What?
They never
it won
get
a best
right.
picture. It won the best picture in 1976.
Weak crop of movies that year.
What was it? Let's hear him.
I just thought you would hold off on this because if you didn't get the original Rocky, you could just get one of the other Rockies. And isn't there debate about whether or not it's even the best Rocky of all time? Crowley, Doran's a Rocky expert. Would he have picked Rocky 1 here?
Doran believes that he wrote Creed, the I think the latest in the Rocky series. Creed?
He thinks he presented a script to filmmakers and they stole it
he
from him?
He pitched an idea to Michael B. Jordan and he never answered him, and then he said they basically went with his idea.
Wow.
That's right.
What a claim. All right.
I have never seen Rocky, by the way.
Good Lord. Sonny hasn't either.
Man, there's some dead money in this draft. It's like drafting with the Jets and Browns with these two guys. I'm taking Major League second. Bob Uecker just a bit outside. The Wild Thing, etc. Things of that nature. Crowley?
I'm an American, and so I'm going with Miracle. One of the great, not just sports movies.
And you have ruined
all time.
Sonny Gray's draft is over.
Well, I'm cooked. That was it. I'm finished. I have to go outside of hockey. I'm ruined.
Yeah.
I have a Mike Ruzioni jersey in my closet, even though I was -10 when all that fun stuff went down at Lake Placid. But that is one of my all-time favorite sports movies. Major League would have been my first pick, so I'm happy with Miracle.
Amazing pick. Amazing pick.
Sonny, you now have to make two, and you only had two movies on your list, and one of them's gone, so this is problematic for you.
Well, good news is my first choice is still on the board. Rudy.
Oh, my God. Draft.
I hate Rudy.
You serious?
We could have a 15-round draft, and I would hope that Rudy went undrafted.
Rudy was offsides.
Rudy sucked. Sonny, what are you doing here? You want to start over again?
No.
No, you can't. You can't take it back. Rudy won. What's two?
42.
Man, completely going off the board here.
I don't mind that pick.
Me neither. That was actually the first thing Amanda bought me in our relationship was a movie about Jackie Robinson. What does that tell you about the romance that existed there?
Are we talking DVD? Like she got you a DVD?
Blu-ray.
A Blu-ray, as a matter of fact. Yep.
Wow.
Crowley, back to you. You took Miracle 1, so you're not embarrassing yourself yet.
I'm going to go Remember the Titans. Ooh. That is the movie that I watched when I had my first sexual encounter, actually. It was on in the background.
No,
and there was
not.
Some funny stuff going
what
on.
Channel
I
would
swear.
That have been? Was this a DVD
ABC
as well?
Family.
That was a DVD as well.
So
and
it started with, hey,
the other movie.
Come over, we'll watch Remember the Titans, and this was the original Netflix and chill. Was Remember the Titans
it was
for you.
One of the other early life romantic moments between me and another was during the movie. Oh, man, what the hell? What's the one where with...
Well, your wife is right there.
It.
Ask
What's
her.
It?
Ask her. She might know.
She's not here, and it wasn't her.
Oh, back to me. Crap. I've been caught with my pants down here. I'm going to take Hoosiers. First basketball movie. You ever seen it, Don?
I have once. I mean, so I didn't want to, like, put it on my... bored because I would have felt like
it's a rewatchable sports movie. That's like my standard here. If it's on, do I want to watch it? My answer is yes with Hoosiers. And what's the actor's name again? He's an all-time
Gene
great.
Hackman.
Gene Hackman. Yeah. Is he still going?
He is. He's like in his 90s. So he may not have much time left, but what a legend.
Donnie, back to you for two. The Friday draft, best sports movies of all time.
Alrighty, I'm going to go baseball movie here. I'm going to go with Moneyball. This is my personal favorite baseball movie. Major League is second for me.
Excellent pick.
And then we get into the Bull Durhams of the world and other ones of that nature. But I don't know what it is about Moneyball. It pulls me in every single time. Brad Pitt, Jonah Hill.
The Scouts.
Yeah. Oh, the Scout scene is fantastic. Crowley, tell me you've seen Moneyball.
I have seen Moneyball. I think it's a little disingenuous, though, with no mention of Barry Zito or the great starting staff that the A's had, but it is a good movie.
They do fail to mention.
You've allowed for the facts to get in the way of a good movie for you, Adam. You hold to like what happened in real life that strongly.
Here's what's funny. He just picked Remember the Titans. Disney completely made up a racist character for Remember the Titans. Ray did not exist.
Yeah, I'm sure they had a tough time finding racist people in the South at that time.
Adam was too
I'm
busy sure that having didn't sex happen. While that movie was going on. Next.
I will go Friday Night Lights, since that's my favorite football movie. If Crowley wants to get to the facts here, one of the things that is a little bit bothersome, I think, is that the equipment is so up to date in that movie. It was made 20 years ago. It was 04.
But they were wearing Under Armour?
They were. It was based in the late 1980s. But I also like when sports movies actually have believable looking sports scenes. Like when the games are actually happening, it doesn't look like totally ridiculous. Now, there is a football movie that I'm not going to mention because maybe one of you guys will select it, where I think the football scenes are just incredibly over the top. I think the football scenes in Friday Night Lights are very good. I think that adds to it.
All right. This is strategy because I don't think this movie will get back to me given Sonny Gray's penchant for hockey and that being the only sport he cares about. I'm taking Slapshot with my third
pick. Good move. I thought about it.
Paul Newman, Johnstown. Things like that. Ogie Oglethorpe. And the like those
things like that.
The Hanson brothers are like still around. Like I think I saw one getting ice cream around here like a month ago. Seriously. Anyways,
hey, isn't that a Hanson brother?
Anyways, Crowley, you're up.
So Slapshot probably would have been my pick. Now I'm dipping in
to movies to you haven't
personal
seen.
Favorite.
Oh no.
No, this is There are two movies here. I'll go with the one that I think would get picked, and then if my personal favorite is sticking around at the end, I think it will be, I'll pick that one. I'm going to go with The Sandlot.
That's my wife's favorite movie.
It captures the charm.
Actually, no, it's not.
Oh, it's a tremendous movie.
She likes
it. It's tremendous.
Better,
it captures the charm of Little Baseball. Yeah.
The 1950s. Stuff like that. All right.
Superstar was the movie I was looking for, by the way, for my other sexual encounter, just FYI.
Sonny,
wait, the one with Will Ferrell?
That's right.
Sonny, your last two.
Well, I can't leave a hockey movie off my list, and my top two favorites already got taken, so Mighty Ducks.
Which one?
First one.
Okay. Some would say D2, the superior movie. That one would be
Electric Boogaloo.
That would be me making that claim. You're nodding yes in there, Adam, or you're having like a... Now he froze.
Uh-oh, did we lose him? He's back.
Now he's back. All right.
He's back.
Sonny, your last pick, Mr. Irrelevant, for you.
Talladega Nights.
I like that call.
I guess it's a sports movie. Are we okay with that?
Yeah, absolutely. NASCAR.
Better Will Ferrell sports movie than the one where he's in the ABA?
I do. I do like both of them. I would take Talladega Nights over Semi-Pro, but I enjoy both.
Man, leave it.
I mean, there was also one where he was a figure skater.
Maybe that'll be Crowley's pick here. Final pick, Adam. Make it a good one. Make it count.
I'm not going to go with Blades of Glory. I'm not going to do that. I will go with my personal all-time favorite, Little Giants.
Terrible pick.
What do you mean?
I actually like that movie a lot.
Awful pick.
You're not a little
giant guy. Quick story here. So when I first came into the fan, I produced a show in the evening hosted by Doran Dickerson. And Doran said on the count of three, let's both name our favorite sports movie. And we both said Little Giants. And the rest is history from there. Because that's not a typical favorite sports movie, especially for a football player, I think. So it holds a special place in my heart, guys.
Did you feel
Little Giants?
Did you feel like from that, like almost like a Blood Brothers bond with him after that?
It was
moment?
Like the Step Brothers moment. Did we just become best friends? Yes. It was so strange.
I almost,
because that's not a super popular movie, I don't think.
I almost think that Crowley and Doran could pull off a a remake of that. You have Doran, the former NFLer. You have Crowley, the little guy. He could be Rick Moranis.
And then, and so Doran's Ed O'Neill?
Yeah, and then Harry Callis could be the Icebox.
My last pick is Caddyshack.
Oh, you SOB.
Yep. Shocked it made it this far. I think Mueller would have taken it in the first round. So I have Major League Hoosier, Slapshot, and Caddyshack. All classics. Donnie, your last pick.
You left me scrambling a little bit. I thought I was going to get there.
Yes.
I thought I was going to get there, Pony.
Oh, this is like, man, what the Ravens do to the Steelers in the draft every year. Gotcha.
This is your Tyler Linderbaum moment.
Yep.
It really is.
This is William Jackson, and you're scrambling for Artie Burns.
So I do have a couple like options here for me. I'm just kind of, there's like four I have here that I'm deciding between. Like, do I want to go funny or do I want to go more serious?
Well, I'm not going to give you any advice because I want you to lose this draft. So you're on your own, man.
You know which one we love, Pony, that I'm going to go with? Kingpin.
Oh, damn it all. What
Big
a,
Earn!
What a
Big
great
Earn
last
is finally
pick.
Above the law! Oh,
that's a steal.
That's Brock Purdy right there.
Yep. All right. Adam, thank you. Have fun. Have fun helping Pitt beat West Virginia in the future tomorrow night.
I'm going to go watch Superstar. Thanks, guys.
See ya. Sonny, thank you. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. We'll let Channel 2 take care of that. Jeff Hathorn at 4:15. FanDuel did something with Russell Wilson that I need to tell you about next, but first a quick timeout.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.